From the Jackalope Studios, high above the city in the beautiful Barrie View Castle, welcome to the Harmony Health Hour, reconnecting spirit, mind, and body, with your host, Dr. Daryl Drumright.
You're not the only one I've ever had, and if I say I want to set you free, don't you know you'll be in misery? They call me
Dr. Love.
They call me Dr. Love.
Call me Dr. Love.
I've got the cure you're thinking of.
Call me Dr. Love.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. This is Dr. Drumright coming to you, the Harmony Health Hour, Jackalope Radio. I tell you, it's been a long, busy week. I've had a whole pile of people come through the office today that are very stressed out. It's very obvious around here that the holidays are over and the back-to-work, high-productivity American lifestyle is in full swing. I'm glad that I'm here, boy. Straightening out people's necks and helping their backs loosen up is a wonderful way to end the week. Get to the chiropractor and just melt the stress away so you can go home and relax for the weekend and get ready for another highly productive week next week. Tonight, we're going to go into the Tao Te Ching and cover verses 40 and 41. And then we're going to spend some time on a particular problem that we have very good success rate here at the clinic, and it's heartburn, indigestion, Barrett's esophagus, these kind of things. It's a very common condition that makes billions of dollars for the drug industry. And it's very treatable with natural remedies.
I'm very excited about that because I have heartburn a lot.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll have a client right here, right now. Speaking of that, Todd, and maybe not on the air so much, but you need to get in more often, okay? You're right here in the building. You need to lay down and let me work your spine over more.
I'm broke.
Hey, we'll work out a trade.
We'll barter it.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. I like getting my hands on you. There's nothing like getting your hands around somebody's neck you know. I like my job. So, verse number 44. In the verse number 40, I'm sorry. All is paradox. You hear that a lot in the Tao Te Ching. The movement of the great integrity is infinite, yet its character is passive. Being defines every form of life, yet all originate in and return to non-being. Commentary from Dr. Dale. The old wise man never tires of reminding us that our senses and our logic are more illusion than reality. Wisdom, he says, derives rather from paradox, which in turn derives from the contradictions in our observations and conclusions, as well as from the very nature of transformation, which is itself the defining character of the universe. Everything changes. There is nothing permanent in the universe. What is the nature of transformation? It is the tendency for everything, when it becomes extreme, to turn into its opposite. When we are overactive, extreme yang in Chinese terms, we must rest or sleep yin, or else we will not survive. When we stay outside in very cold weather for a long time, extreme yin, we must find some source of heat, yang, or else we might die. The main application of paradox and the principle of opposites for us today is that having reached the point in the development of modern civilization of extreme violence, competitiveness, and fragmentation, extreme yang, we are now ceding the transformation to its opposite, Lao Tzu's great integrity, yin. Here is a key to our closet of lost hopes. Indeed, we have been appointed by evolution to become the conscious agents of our own transcendence. Clearly, in order to accommodate us to continue to participate in a now anachronistic, competitive, ego-driven world of haves at war with the have-nots, we are asked to accept our social condition and its rationalizations as the only one possible and desirable in this best of all possible worlds, Voltaire. The spirit of Lao Tzu has reincarnated in his Tao Te Ching to invite us to laugh at these mythologies that serve only the selfish interests of the overprivileged. Lao Tzu keeps confronting us with an alternative consciousness that reminds us again and again that change, not permanence, is the nature of reality, and that the process of change is characterized by the yin-yang paradox. Thus, the movement of the great integrity is infinite, yet its character is passive. Being defines every form of life, yet all originate in and return to non-being. This is right on the world stage right now. I know that no matter where you're at on the planet, I'm sure you're keeping an eye on Egypt over there. And I know talk radios all over the world are probably focusing in on this, so we'll just spend a few minutes in it. But you're seeing an oppressive regime who has spent 30 years or more holding the people down. And Tunisia is even more interesting in that the Tunisian experience for the Europeans, the elites, the people, as Lao Tzu would call them, the best of all possible worlds, people are using these lands as tourist traps or vacation spots. Well, underneath the glitz and glamour of the posh resorts lied a suppressed people that were the servants and the taxi drivers and the people behind the scenes. This younger generation has been suppressed their entire lives. You realize in Egypt today, 70% of the population is under the age of 30. Hosni Mubarak's been the president of Egypt for 30 years. That means these 70% of the population has known nothing but this one man in charge of their country and their lives. The U.S. gave them $1.5 billion last year. What do you think they did with it? Who knows? Who knows? But one thing for sure, this weekend, know where your water is, because as Lao Tzu says, the only thing permanent in the universe is that things change. And things are definitely changing right now. Did you hear they cut off the internet out there?
I did. I hear they're having some problems, yeah.
You know, last night they turned the internet off and they closed all the cell phone towers. So the people in Cairo and throughout Egypt were using the Facebook and the social media to coordinate their efforts to bring a more just government,
right.
A people's government into place. And so the government, because of contractual relationships with the cell towers, actually turned off the cell phones throughout Egypt. And this morning they shut down the airport. So there's no in or out. The place is absolutely turning on a dime as we speak here.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens, for sure.
Well, we're sitting here in the comfort of the Midwest, you know, and with the forests and the snow all around us here. And you have it's very hard for us to even imagine what these people are going through over there.
I agree.
And to see the revolution, the people's revolution come forward in a place like that, you know, with transparency and open communication on a planetary scale, we can see this thing as Dr. Dale talks about, you know, a paradox of complete control always leads to when the tyrants are in charge, the more they stranglehold it, the more they're going to lose control. And
here comes the uprising.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So peace be with you out there. And all our friends in Australia, I wanted to say something to you guys too. I know you're not in the news anymore as far as the news circuit, but we remember here in Missouri when the floods hit, just because the water recedes doesn't mean the problem's over. It's going to be a lot of rebuilding and a lot of effort and a lot of time for you guys, and our hearts still go out to you and everything that we can do to help you guys rebuild down there. A flood is a very terrible thing to live through. And I apologize for the news cycle, just kind of sloughing off things, getting on to other things and leaving you dry. No, leaving you wet. Maybe that's better.
Exactly.
Okay, verse number 41, observing and nourishing paradox. Isn't that a change? He's encouraging you to not only understand that the universe is constantly changing, but your job in it is to promote that change. When most people hear about the great integrity, they waver between belief and disbelief. When wise people hear about the great integrity, they diligently follow its path. When ignorant people hear about it, they laugh out loud. By this very laughter, we know its authenticity. It is said that enlightenment appears dark. The progressive way appears retrograde. The smooth way appears jagged. The highest peak of revelation appears empty like a valley. The cleanest appears to be soiled. The greatest abundance appears insufficient. The most enduring inner strength appears like weakness, and creativity appears imitative. Great talents mature slowly. Great sounds are silent. Great forms look shapeless. Transcendent squareness has no corners. The great integrity hides behind all forms, stubbornly nourishing the paradoxes that can enlighten us. Commentary. One of the important differentiations between the thought structures of Lao Tzu and of conventional science is the metaphoric paradoxic character of the former and the objective and logical character of the latter. To Lao Tzu, contradictions often reveal a deep truth. To modern science, contradictions indicate an error. This verse is saturated with the paradoxes that surface when one experiences life through the great integrity, that is, through our intuitive holistic consciousness, what the chiropractors call innate. It is the left cerebral hemisphere that formulates logical alienated thinking, which requires the modern conventional scientist to separate himself from that which he is investigating. In contrast, the great integrity is a holistic consciousness which predominantly activates the right cerebral hemisphere and is both phylogenetically and ontogenetically an earlier mode of perception. Right brain dominance was characteristic of the first few million years that hominids wandered through our planet. It is also the only form of perception of every one of us during our infancy and the dominant form during our pre-logical early childhood years. According to Lao Tzu, and to many of us who are exploring a more appropriate consciousness for the 21st century, a new great integrity will transcend our present objective consciousness. My view of evolutionary transformation proposes that this new great integrity will not be a return to right hemispheric dominance, but to a new left-right hemispheric merger in which both our thoughts and feelings, our objective apperceptions and subjective perceptions, will function as a higher level of integral human exchange. Such a development assumes a new mode of communication that will be objective and scientific, like language, as well as subjective and feelingful, like music, but without the duality that now characterizes their relationships. The new music language might also permit the communication of simultaneous multiplicities, especially involving the processes of transformation. Until now, the limitations inherent in the linearity of our thinking and of our languages have required us to communicate the complexities of our experiences by analyzing and presenting them in sequential fragments, like the frame-by-frame photographs in a cinema. Okay, so this brings us to a psychological study that I read, probably it's going on 10 years ago now, where they did a long-term study of studying the Eastern mind versus the Western mind. And what they did was they took a picture of a fish tank that had a big, pretty, colorful fish in the center of the fish tank. And they took a number of Western-trained people and asked them what they saw with no indications or prompts or anything at all. Just look at the picture and tell me what you see. And then they took the same number of Eastern-trained minds and asked them the same question. And they came up with vastly different answers. The Western-trained mind is trained at reductionist thinking. The Western-trained mind is about logical mathematics, 1 plus 1 equals 2, sequence of events, A to B to C. And the way they answered this test question was, what do you see? And they said, I see a big, pretty fish. And that's it. But then you ask the Eastern-trained mind, which is trained in holographic, in holism, in all-inclusiveness, that you are a part of a greater whole. And when asked what they saw when they looked at this picture, the answers would come back that I see blue water and brown stones and green leaves and plants, and there's some little fish back here, and there's a big bright fish in the center of the picture. So they would give a much more inclusive description of what they were seeing because their mind was trained to think in holistic terms, where the Western mind would just get to the point, they saw a fish, that's what this picture was about. It wasn't about the background was just there to support the central image of the fish. What they further went to discover is these mindsets are not genetic, that they're actually trained. So they're a cultural training of how the mind operates, that a person with Eastern genetic background who was raised in the Western world would think in the linearities of the Western trained mind and vice versa. A Western trained or Western Anglo genetic person raised in Eastern culture would learn or think in a more circular whole type thinking. The conclusion of this was, and it was a good one, is that neither one is wrong. Both methods of thought have purpose and have a usefulness to them. The scientific method of reducing things to discover how they work from the inside out and try to explain them back up is useful as we try to interpret our physical world around us, but only useful in so much as you can include it in your whole picture. So you can use the reductionist mindset to pull one piece of reality down into a better understanding of what makes it tick, as long as you bring that back into a grander picture that is not the only story, that is not permanent, and that even as clearly as you can scientifically prove something, it's not going to stay that way. That as the Earth spins around the sun and the gravitational fields change and who knows what could happen beyond our capacity of time, these experiences or observations are only that. They're that instant in time where you observe this event. If you can repeat it, then you can call it science and almost predict it, but never 100% predictability. That comes in the chaos theory, that the more you try to predict one thing from happening, the more you're influencing that thing to happen. And a Western scientist's job is to remove the observer from the observed phenomenon and reduce what we call variables. You want to isolate out any variables so that you can just control and manipulate the variables you want to study. But ultimately, you as the observer, as a part of the picture, are one of the variables. And there's absolutely no way, and quantum physics is now clearly saying that and proving that, there's no way that you can completely remove yourself from the experiment. So you're influencing it, and the whole thing works together anyway. All right. Well, that's about a wrap on our first segment here. We're going to take a little break. This is Dr. Drumright, Harmony Health Hour, coming to you at jackalope.com. When we get back, we're going to dig into a topic that seems to be dear to Todd, and stomach ulcers and indigestion, heartburn, and these kind of things. I'll see you in a minute. Go grab a cool one. We'll be right back.
sick, twisted, and fresh from a neighbor's Botox party.
Ow! We're still going to do it. We will. I promise. Whatever.
The Brad Wesmar Show.
More stimulating talk radio.
Jackalope Radio.
Love the music. It's never boring. It's red hot.
The
Love
freshest
the music.
Music
it's never
in
boring.
Town.
It's red hot.
The freshest music in town. Jackalope Radio.
All right. We're back. Happy Friday, guys. It's warm outside here in Kansas City. The snow is melting away. I understand the East Coast is not quite the same story. Oh. Friends in New York were out looking outside, 21 inches of snow yesterday. And boy, if we can't shut the government down, I guess the snow can, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So heartburn, what is it? What causes it? And what can you do about it? Come to find out, well, let's just go through a couple things here. Chronic heartburn, gastroesophageal reflux disease called GERD. You ever heard of that? Other things, Barrett's esophagus is another big word. Peptic ulcers is another thing they call it. Stomach ulcers, heartburn, indigestion, all these kind of things. See, in the stomach, your digestion starts when you chew your food. Enzymes are produced in your mouth that digest carbohydrates. So if you're eating a carbohydrate, salads, pastas, stuff like that, it's very important to chew your food before you swallow it, because in the stomach is a highly acidic environment, and what acid does is it breaks down proteins. Proteins, meats, if you will, nuts, things that have proteins. Remember the three types of food. You have carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Carbohydrates are digested in the mouth. Proteins are digested in the stomach. And the fats are digested in the upper intestinal tract, the duodenum, coming from the liver, bile. We'll get to that later. So I think we've talked about the carbohydrates and chew your food and make sure that they're emulsified, which means totally liquidated in your mouth before you swallow them, which will take some pressure off the stomach right there. But proteins are digested in the stomach. And in order to break down proteins, you need an acidic environment. So this is a double-edged sword. Having the acid available in the stomach is important for the digestion of proteins, but having too much acid or having an imbalance in the pH in the stomach can erode the lining of the stomach and actually gurgle up into the esophagus and clear up. And I've had people talk about it in their sinuses and in their throat. It gets so bad. So the conventional wisdom of medical reductionism, what they want to do when you have these kind of problems are give you drugs, or what do you call antacids. Well, antacids, with two kinds of antacids. And what they do is they neutralize, or one type of drug neutralizes the acid in the stomach, but another type of drug is called a protein pump inhibitors, or PPIs, like Nexium, Prilosec, and Prevacid, actually block the production of acid in your stomach so that you can't produce any hydrochloric acid in the stomach. Now, that might make you feel better if your stomach's having problems, but it also reduces your ability to digest proteins. Now, why is it important to digest proteins? Well, you're made out of protein. You're made out of protein and fat. So if you don't have building block proteins available for your body to rebuild itself, the first thing that begins to fail is your immune system. You get colds and flus and have problems like that when you're taking antacids all the time. The PPIs are better than the blockers, because they actually, and I'm kind of reading this, they get you addicted to them. If you go off a PPI after being on them for a while, this is from an article I wrote several years ago, your symptoms will actually be worse than before you started them. This is one of the reasons why I never have patients go cold turkey off of PPIs, but gradually wean them off, which does not cause as much acid rebound effect. So another option that the medics give you is surgery. They go in and they use these fancy cameras and microscopes now and go down your throat and actually cauterize or burn the wound closed to prevent a bleeding ulcer. Now, if the problem is so bad that you have a bleeding ulcer, I mean, there has to be some kind of intervention there, because this can kill you. You can bleed out literally from a stomach ulcer, and you don't even know it, because you're bleeding into the background of the the main tissue behind the stomach, and that gets absorbed or digested, and the bleeding comes from the body into the stomach and is digested through. But if it continues to do that with any strength or a lot of blood loss, you can literally go anemic and pass out and die from bleeding to death via a hole in your stomach. So we don't want to get into that category. So what we want to do is we want to understand the stomach line a little better. You see, the stomach in a healthy format will produce hydrochloric acid, which is as acids go, it's a fairly light acid, but it does its job in digesting the proteins in your stomach. But if the stomach acid is reduced or it's not getting enough or low enough pH factor from the hydrochloric acid, the goblet cells in the stomach can actually produce phosphoric acid. And let me get that right, because there's two different kinds of acids here that it can produce. It produces phosphoric acid, which is very many times stronger than the hydrochloric acid that's naturally there. So one of the ways that we treat stomach acid or stomach ulcers naturally is we actually give you a hydrochloric acid pill. So you actually take acid to help prevent acidic stomach. I know that sounds weird, okay? But what happens is the hydrochloric acid is got to be there to do the digestion, and if it's not there, then the body produces the phosphoric acid, which causes ulcers, heartburn, and all the other nasty stuff that you have to deal with. So it's not a case most of the time of not enough acid or too much acid. It's actually a case of not enough acid of the right kind of acid, and then the body produces the much stronger acid to fill in the gaps, which causes problems. So a very quick, easy way to help is to take the hydrochloric acid. Another thing is bitters. It's an ancient Chinese technique that bitters cause the stomach to produce the hydrochloric acid. And so you're taking bitters, which are coffee is a bitter, for example. There's a lot of herbs and plants that I think celery or these kind of things, anything that tastes bitter can cause the stomach to produce the hydrochloric acid and increase the natural hydrochloric acid and prevent the phosphoric acid from being produced. So that's the case. And I want to tell you for sure, one of the quickest ways to get rid of heartburn is go to a chiropractor. You see, since the heartburn is caused by actually not enough of the hydrochloric acid or not enough signal going into the stomach to produce its proper acids, very, very common, and I've seen this hundreds of times, is in the middle of the back at about the fifth thoracic vertebra, you have the wire, nerve, cable, whatever you want to call it, that exits the central control of the spine and goes down and innervates the stomach. In other words, it's the control mechanism or the USB cable that's running the stomach. And if you have a problem, if you're at a computer all day long, or you're hunched over, or you have what they call a kyphosis, and you have a lot of mid-back pain and mid-back problems, one of very common side effect of mid-back issues is a reduced nerve function to the stomach to tell it how much acid to produce. So it gets confused. It's in a crisis mode because it doesn't have proper innervation. So instead of operating normally and naturally, it goes into crisis mode and develops ulcers and has problems. A very simple solution to this is simply go to the chiropractor, have the middle of your back checked out around what we call T5, fifth thoracic vertebra. He'll invariably find a really stuck area there. When he pokes on it, it'll hurt a lot right in that area. And then he'll perform a chiropractic adjustment on that area, which restores nervous function and innate intelligence back to the stomach, and almost immediately sees a near permanent recovery of this problem. Now, I say near permanent because, like Lao Tzu talks about, nothing is permanent. Everything has its flow. So your posture is very much involved in the development of stomach ulcers and the correction of stomach ulcers. You'll find people that have stomach ulcers a lot are hunched over a lot. They're sitting at the desk a lot. They're not upright or out running around doing a lot of work like that. They're much more likely to be doing desk jobs. So when you're sitting hunched over, the posture is actually compressing the stomach and compressing the heart and squeezing it together. And all you have to do is roll your shoulders back and open up your posture, and you'll almost see immediate reduction in the symptoms, even in the stomach ulcers. So, 7 ways to prevent heartburn. Okay, and this is another article I wrote a while back. You know, I'm on the radio now, but I've been publishing a blog and email distributions for almost 20 years now. So 1993 is when I first started putting emails out and developing websites. So a lot of these shows, I'm just going back to a lot of my old material. So if you hear me reading it, then that's what I'm doing, is I'm reading stuff that I did years ago and just bringing it back up to modern standards with the radio show. Everyone knows that an ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure. So how can you prevent heartburn in the first place? Studies shown that chronic heartburn can lead to blah, blah, blah. Over-the-counter antacids, Tums, Pepsi, AC may provide symptomatic relief. Nothing is being done about what is causing the heartburn. The problem is they decrease the amount of acid in your stomach that your body needs to digest your food. And we already talked about all that. Okay, so here's some things that you can do to prevent your heartburn. 1, lose weight. Okay, if you have a lot of excess poundage on you, that's putting pressure on the stomach, it's causing enzyme problems. We talked about the pancreas last time. The pancreas is involved in your digestion as well. If you're carrying around a lot of extra weight, it stresses out everything. And the stomach's only one of the things that'll benefit by losing weight. 2, elevate your head in bed by 6 to 8 inches. Okay, using pillows doesn't work, so you have to do something to prop up the mattress. Now, this is stopgap stuff, okay? This isn't going to fix the problem. This is going to make you more comfortable along the way. Take natural acid and supplements to help increase the amount of hydrochloric acid. You can get those at any chiropractor's office or probably any kind of health food store. You just go get it. It's called HCL, hydrochloric acid. One hydrogen, one chloride ion together as an acid. Take one of those before each meal. It helps you digest your food, and it'll really lower the production of phosphoric acid and do a world of good to help your body regenerate and heal. Always remember that the body's regenerating 24/7, that it's a 2 trillion cell population, and that the stomach lining of the stomach is one of the fastest regenerating areas of the body. So if we can rebalance the input through the nerve input and chiropractic, through proper hydrochloric acid supplementation, it turns around very quickly. That's why I like this problem, because we can have miraculous kind of wow moments with these, because people suffer from them and they take that Nexium, that little purple pill, that costs like $100 a month. So if I can solve this problem quickly and easily, which I almost always do, I just save that person $100 a month buying that purple pill. So this is one of the reasons you start seeing why pharmaceutical industries and stuff don't like chiropractors, because we fix the problem instead of just mask it, causing other problems down the line. Okay, let's see. 4, drink adequate amounts of pure water. Drink enough so that your urine is clear or light yellow. The water will thin out the acid. Even when it's producing the phosphoric acid, you put the water in there, it'll neutralize some of that acid and take some of the pressure off. Chew 1 or 2 cloves of raw, fresh garlic daily to eradicate the H. pylori bacteria. In the last 10 years, there's been a lot of studies on bacteria involvement in the stomach ulcers and the heartburn and indigestion, and they've discovered this H. pylori bacteria as part of the contributing factors to what's eating up the lining of the stomach. Well, garlic is an antibacterial, so chewing garlic will reduce reduces the quantity of the H. pylori bacteria, and in the meantime, it's boosting your immune system in a number of other ways. The Chinese army carries cloves of garlic around, and they'll eat 1 clove of garlic a day as a immune system booster, an energetic booster, a detoxification process, a deworming. Garlic is very good to feed your dog once in a while to deworm them. Avoid sugar and refined carbohydrates. Well, you know, there's a repeated theme around here. Sugar, refined carbohydrates are not food. Those are drugs. I've said it 100 times and I'll say it 100 more times. You know, be careful what you put in your mouth. If it was alive recently, it was food. If it's processed, it's a drug. It might make you happy, but it's not a food. Okay, so be careful. Avoid any kind of sugars or refined carbohydrates, which means pastas, white breads. You can eat natural rices or whole grains. These kind of things are carbohydrates that are not going to cause these kind of irritating problems. Probiotics. Probiotics. You see, when I talk about the body being a 2 trillion cell population, a little deeper understanding of this is to realize that these 2 trillion cells are not all human cells. Many of these cells are bacteria cells, their yeast fungus cells, their worm cells. There's a lot of different types of living organisms that contribute to this thing you call your human body. And very important to the balance of the human body is the level of bacteria in your gut, on your skin, and throughout. So a very nice way to help reduce the symptoms of an upset intestinal tract, including the stomach, is on a regular basis consume what we call probiotics. Watch your flora. Watch the bacteria count. Don't take antibiotics unless you absolutely have to. And then after you take an antibiotic, take probiotics immediately after to plant the good guy bacteria back in the place that you just killed with the antibiotics. So chiropractic, probiotics, avoid refined sugars, watch your posture, drink lots of water, garlic, you know, super tonic is what we have around here. And I think we've had a show on that in the past. It's a tonic recipe that you can get off the website, harmonyhealth.com. It's garlic, onion, horseradish, ginger, cayenne pepper, vodka and vinegar mixed up into a tonic. And you take that as like a tablespoon at a time, and that'll help with the stomach lining as well. Ginger is a good tonic or calmer for the stomach. It helps with indigestion and heartburn. So there's another one. Chew some candied ginger is very helpful. All these things are ways that you can work on the stomach ulcer without taking the drugs that reduce the acid. I hope my final point here is when you have stomach issues or signals coming from the stomach, it's not that there's too much acid. That's the sales pitch to sell you antacids. The problem is an imbalance that can be very much addressed and corrected with the proper treatment, chiropractic and nutritional changes, postural changes, and these kind of things. You can get a hold of this. Taking antacids for long periods of time is very harmful to your overall general well-being and not advisable. This is Dr. Drumright, Harmony Health Hour. We're already wrapping up the second segment, coming to you from jackaloperadio.com. You guys go chill out for a minute and listen to the music. I'll see you for our last segment.
Sister, Music variety.
Jackalope Radio.
All right, somebody wake me up. What was that?
I have no idea what that song was, that one. That was weird.
We got a little more action around here than that. I know I'm a little dry sometimes, but come on.
That was weird.
Sounded like almost like The Godfather. All right, so we're going to get into a little current events here. You know, my philosophy here in the office is I don't accept any insurance directly. I don't work with Medicare or any kind of government agencies at all, because it's very important to me. If somebody comes to me for help, it's one of the first lessons I want them to embrace and understanding is that it's their life. It's their responsibility for the outcome of that life. If somebody else is paying for it, then their attendance to what I'm teaching them and their participation in the progress of the homework and the stuff that I give them is drastically reduced, because, hey, they're not paying for it. You know, it's just kind of a casual kind of go to the doctor, or tell the doctor to fix me. Don't talk to me, doctor, just fix me. And somebody else is paying for it. So, hey, you got to see me, and you got to bill me, and you got to do all this kind of crazy stuff besides being a doctor. And that just turned me off years ago. And me and a cadre of my friends are all very happily being good local physicians, helping people balance their lives and recover from serious problems without the interference of third-party insurance or third-party government agents. But in America recently, our Congress, in all its wisdom, against the wills of the wishes of the people, passed this national health care bill. And it was about a 2,000-page document that nobody read. They just passed it through and said it's going to Pelosi said, well, we have to pass it so that we can see what's in it. I mean, what kind of craziness is that? But recently, they're finally reading this darn thing. And thank goodness, August 2nd of last year, Missouri passed the Proposition C, which basically said not in Missouri. And now a number of other states across the country are using nullification 10th Amendment rights to tell the federal government that you can pass all you want, but if it's unconstitutional, then we don't like it. We as a state are going to nullify it and not do it. This is a quick article rundown of some specific problems in this healthcare bill. Although some of these are already being addressed, I guess they're repealing this one little piece at a time. This is a federal judge, Judge Kethel of Marble Falls, Texas, highlights the following issues in a lawsuit that's being proposed in his court. He says, page 50, section 152, the bill will provide insurance to all non-U.S. residents, even if they are illegal. That's a problem. Page 58 and 59. The government will have real-time access to an individual's bank account and will have the authority to make electronic fund transfers from those accounts. Isn't that special? What's that have to do with your health care? And what, I mean, they're selling this as it's supposed to be good for your good health care. It's your bank account they're after. Page 65, section 164. The plan will be subsidized by the government for all union members, union retirees, and for community organizations such as the Association of Community Organizations Reform Now, ACORN. So, me as a small businessman and you as an employee, working person, you got to buy your own health insurance by mandate. But if you work for the government or union, they're all exempted. They don't have to do that. So, if you're in the union, I guess that's cool. But for the rest of us, this is just doesn't quite strike a fair chord. Page 203, line 14 and 15. The tax imposed under this section will not be treated as a tax. Okay. Only in America. We pass a law that imposes a tax, but you're not going to treat it as a tax. What does that mean? So it's not a tax, so they're going to tax you on the tax? I mean, that's probably what they're setting up there. Page 241 and 253. Doctors will all be paid the same, regardless of specialty, and the government will set all doctors' fees. Oh, now there's some free enterprise for you there, baby. You know, you want to be a heart surgeon? You want to go to school for another 6 or 8 years to be a heart surgeon? Oh, no problem. Do it out of the kindness of your heart, which, you know, kind of is. I mean, a doctor's supposed to be doing it for altruistic purposes more than just money. But ultimately, if you've put in 12 or 15 years of your life into learning some particular specialty, you probably ought to be able to charge for it. It's like going to the master versus going to the apprentice. You know, you're going to pay more for the master than you pay for the apprentice. But in this socialized program, that's not the case. You pay the same for the master as you pay for the apprentice. All this is doing is all my doctor friends are quitting. They're just like, you know what? I'll go open a restaurant. I'll do something else besides being a doctor because this oversight's killing me. Page 272, section 1145. Cancer hospitals will ration care according to the patient's age. Yeah, that's not a big issue for me because most of the cancer treatment in hospitals is not good for you anyway. So if they're rationing care, from my point of view, it's probably going to save lives. Page 317 and 321. The government will impose a prohibition on hospital expansion. However, communities may petition for an exception. So if you have a community that looks like a business or a hospital could go there, you got to ask the government's permission for that. So they took over the car industry. They took over the banking industry. Now they've taken over the hospital industry as well. Page 425, line 4 through 12. The government mandates advanced care planning consultations. Those on Social Security will be required to attend an end-of-life planning seminar every 5 years. Now, first of all, in America, how do you mandate somebody do anything? You're supposed to be free. That means if I want you to do something, I got to sell you. I can't just tell you. And what they're trying to say is America is not like that anymore, that because a bunch of the guys up in Washington, 535 guys up in Washington decide it's a good idea, that now they can come in and tell you what to do. And that if you're over 65 years old, you got to go to these end-of-life planning seminars every 5 years. Now, who's to say? I mean, this death counseling seminars, I mean, you do have to die. I talk about that all the time. Get beyond it. You understand there's no way that you're going to get out of here alive. But, you know, put these seminars on and market them and advertise them to people. Don't mandate them. You know what you're going to get when you mandate a seminar? You're going to get a crap seminar that's not worth going to because everybody has to go. I see that all the time in professional seminars for chiropractors. A good seminar is put on by somebody who's actually selling the seminar. A bad seminar is put on somebody by the state who actually you have to go to. So you go there and you take your laptop and you sit through it and you just put in your time. Blah, blah, blah. Ugly stuff. Page 429, line 13 through 25, the government will specify which doctors can write an end-of-life order. Okay, so there's going to be special doctors set up that, I guess an end-of-life order would be like a Dr. Kevorkian, that if you want to go end it all, you can't do it yourself. You got to go to one of these specific doctors who is probably going to set you on an evaluation chart to see what your worth to the society is. If you're too young and you still could work some more, then they'll say, no, get back to work. But if you're old enough that you're a drag on society and not being productive to society, then here, take this magic pill. You'll smile and go to sleep, kind of Soylent Green, you know, just pass on. So finally, the judge says, finally, it is specifically stated that this bill will not apply to members of Congress. Members of Congress are already exempt from Social Security system and have a well-funded private plan that covers their retirement needs. If they were on Social Security plan, I believe they will find a very quick way to make the plan financially sound for the future. So this is a black-robed judge, part of the system, who's going point by point through this ludicrous piece of legislation that is so unconstitutional and un-American as is not even worth reading, let alone trying to follow. And we're seeing a backlash across the country, and I'm very proud of my fellow Americans and people standing up, and I'm proud of the freedom fighters in Tunisia, in Egypt, and God bless you guys out there, you know, in your struggle for freedom. Let's get the communication lines going. I truly believe, as Dr. Dale talks about in this book a lot of times, that we are in times of change right now, that salvation comes through communication, and understand that race, age, sex, none of these things matter. If you're sentient and you're human and you can look me in the eye and take a deep breath, then you're equal. There's no hierarchy. There's no class. There's no structure. Now, do you have privilege and not privilege? Yes, there's going to be variety in the world, but not forced down classification of slave culture that we seem to be waking up to right now. And I'm very happy to be alive this time, in this time in human history, as the internet and global communications continue to expand and grow, and the tyrants of old and the worlds are being confronted. And we have to be courageous in these times, but I would much rather have our generation address this than to pass it on to the next generation. The can's been kicked down far enough. We are the rainbow tribe. We are the generation that's going to be asked to step forward and set the record straight for the future of humanity. And this is Dr. Drummer. Todd, you over there? We're going to be broadcasting live very shortly here in Kansas City. I'm totally bubbling over in excitement about that.
Oh, I am too, man. I am too. Man, my voice. Yeah.
Yeah. All your friends in Australia, you know, our hearts are with you, man. You guys keep digging out and cleaning up, you know. I know, look around Kansas City now, 20 years later, and you can't even notice what happened back then. So there is a brighter future out there. And, you know, sometimes when everything gets trashed, that's a good time to throw it out anyway and get busy making new stuff.
Start new.
Start all over again. Yep. So Harmony Health Hour, we've wrapped up another one. Coming to you from Jackalope Radio. You've got several more shows coming up later. Who's on next?
We got Dean Haglund on next with the Chill Pack Hollywood Hour, followed by the Brad Westmar Show to tickle your funny bone. And after that, the Nightbreed Show.
Man, Friday nights are awesome here at Jackalope
Radio. We're packed.
I'm telling you, man. Good job, Todd. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You've been doing around here.
I wouldn't do this without you, man.
Well, you brought so much excitement to the clinic here. I mean, it's really fun having you around. It's
at least it's nuts, right?
Yep, that's right. Chill it up. You guys have a good one. It's Friday night. I'll see you next week, and we'll have some more interesting topics to talk about then. This is Dr. Drumright, Harmony Health Hour. See you later.